Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is a podcast from BBC Studios, a commercial subsidiary of the BBC.
So in the UK one, the worst thing I had was a blended camel penis. It was called a Schlong Island iced tea. Oh. I picked this one because I see it everywhere I go. And like, I want to be a more conscious eater. And I want to be a trendy eater.
You want to jump onto that bandwagon.
Yeah. Oh, I want to be on every bandwagon.
Are you going to the final? Like, you did so well.
When Reza Ruddock's not around, I'll tell everyone I came second.
Hey, I'm Kay.
And I'm Kate.
And we are Pinch of Nom. And it's another week of isolation. And this is the magic ingredient.
It is.
It's another week of lockdown. It's been in... What have you been up to, Kate?
I had a nice trip out to the bin yesterday. What else did I do? I put the milk bottles out.
Oh, yeah, we put the milk bottles out. I think that's like the highlight of the week for us. Yeah. Oh, other than speaking to Vicky Patterson.
Before we let everyone else hear, maybe we should do some questions from... our mailbag this week.
I think we should, because obviously, you know, things have changed a little bit because we can't actually feed the guests the dish because we're in lockdown. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're gonna should we delve into the mailbag?
I think we should.
Got an awful lot this week. So do you want me to ask you, Kate?
You can, or I can ask you.
Oh, okay.
You can ask me.
Okay. So Lucy has chicken drumsticks. So I think what I've noticed with this week's mailbag is people are starting to run out of things that they put in the freezer.
Or run out of ideas for things that they can get.
Yeah. I know for us, we're certainly running out of chicken in our freezer. And it seems to be a theme this week. So she's got chicken drumsticks. But she's really unsure about how to jazz them up. Have we got any ideas?
We have. A favourite of ours is salt and pepper chicken.
It is super, super easy. It is. And it's just literally four ingredients as well as the chicken. Yeah. And they are white pepper, a bit of Chinese five spice, salt, obviously, and chilli.
Yeah.
And you can add to that...
Some onions.
We add spring onions usually and normal onions and maybe a bit of fresh chillies. But obviously, if you've got no fresh chillies at the minute, you can use dried chillies.
Yep, chilli flakes.
Dead easy.
Sometimes called red pepper flakes.
As if you're American, I think.
They can still be called either here.
Oh, I've learned something new today. Thanks, Kate. So, Kate, next up, we have Vicky Patterson, who, if anyone has watched TV in the past 10 years, they will certainly know who she is.
10 years.
So it was really, really, really nice having Vicky on the podcast.
It was. Here she is, Vicky Patterson.
You were in the jungle, and obviously, in the jungle... it's quite known for its challenges regarding food.
To put it lightly.
I need to ask, because it's probably a question that most of our readers have probably got at some point. What was the worst and the best thing, if you can even call it the best thing, that you ate in the jungle?
Okay. So I don't know how many British people will actually know this fact about me, but I've actually done the jungle twice.
So I did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in the UK, well, for UK audiences out in Australia. And then because of the level of sort of exposure I've got in Australia as well through Geordie Shaw, I did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for Australian TV out in South Africa.
Wow.
I know, so it's like I'm going to punishment. Yes, so nice. I did it twice. everyone thinks I'm crackers, but it was like the best experience of my life. So you did it again.
Yeah,
I did it again. And the English one, so that's got a slightly later watershed. So you get a lot of, right, let's bury the celebs underground. You get a lot of like really quite gruesome stuff. Because although it's considered a family show, people are aware that we are going to be pushed to breaking point. Yeah. However, in Australia, the Australian audiences, they put it on around 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really family-orientated show. It's got like a Kishi's Castle vibe almost. It's silly. There's a lot more sort of like death-defying feats, like jumping on giant stuff, and a lot more eating challenges. So whereas, I know. So in the UK one, the worst thing I had was a blended camel penis. It was called a Schlong Island iced tea.
Oh, man.
It was really grainy. It was grainy. But the one out in South Africa for Australia, that I ate everything, like everything. I tell you what, you name it, I've had it in your mouth.
Really?
Oh,
seriously? God, yeah.
Awful. There's one particular challenge they set up like a fake ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
And the blindfolded were, and they used like were mouths as the ice cream scoops.
Oh no.
It was horrible, man. One of the ice creams I had was called Jawberry ice cream. Obviously a take on strawberry ice cream, but it was moose jaw. It was bits of moose jaw.
Oh man. Like
actual, I know, horrible, man.
What?
I had crickets, I had balls, I had so many balls in my mouth, man. Honestly, moose balls, camel balls, kangaroo balls, balls for days, lasses.
What made you decide to do that?
Well, obviously, I did the first one, the English one, and there wasn't a lot of eating challenges, so I feel like I got away a bit scot-free. I remember Fern, my pal, she had to eat a live spider, so I think maybe I was lulled into a false sense of security, and then I got dumped in the South African jungle, and that's when all the balls happened, so... I won't be doing a third one, lasses, because I've seen how hard it can be.
So, for your magic ingredient, before we reveal what it is, why did you pick it? Because it's dead trendy, and I get that it's dead. But did you know that they can grow to be like half a meter wide? Like they can be pretty big.
I've picked this one because I see it everywhere I go, and like I want to be a more conscious eater, and I want to be a trendy eater.
You want to jump onto that bandwagon?
I want to be on every bandwagon. And I feel really bad that I don't know enough about it, but I've seen people doing amazing things with it, and I just think, bullshit. There's no way I can do that. So I'm super excited by the prospect of learning how to actually, whether it's true or not, or whether it's all just a very clever ruse.
I suppose we better mention what it is.
We better.
We built this up now
everyone's going to be like, oh, you picked
ingredient.
That. But yeah, so you picked jackfruit, which is super on trend. Everywhere I go, everyone's using it as a meat substitute. We're not vegans. We've tried some vegan food, and you're like, how on earth can it replicate what it's supposed to? And I'd love to feed this to you because it kind of really is. It does live up to its name. So, Kate, can you tell us what we've cooked
What we would have. I feel really mean because I keep saying, like, this is what we cooked. It's really nice, but you can't have any of it.
You teasing bastard, Kate.
One of our most popular recipes, I suppose, is campfire stew, which is
right.
use a gammon joint with like a bean and tomato sauce. So we thought, why not make a vegan version with jackfruit?
Because it is a really good meat substitute. It kind of, it takes on this texture when you cook it of kind of like pulled pork.
Well, that's
what everyone, I've seen everyone using it as, and I'm like, it looks now like pulled pork.
Everyone says it's like, it's got a similar flavour to pulled pork when it's cooked as well.
But you're like, how on earth is a fruit, how does it taste like pork? Like, how
well,
does
there was
that
a
work?
Fruit in the jungle called a vomit fruit.
Oh, I thought,
and that tasted like vomit.
But
jackfruit actually has a bit of a unique smell to it, doesn't it? It's like,
it does. So I'll tell you. So the first time I encountered this, we were out on holiday in America, and I picked it off the dessert menu. It had a jackfruit puree, and the friend that we were with was like, "It can't possibly be horrible because it's on the dessert menu." It was it was not nice for some reason.
Honestly.
I just did not enjoy it. Tasted like vomit, and vowed never to eat jackfruit ever again.
What does it look like in its purest form?
So it's like a massive mango, but it's got, it's like, how would you explain the texture, Kate?
It's like a meaty, stringy texture almost.
No, but hang on, let's go back. So these little little nuggets come out of this massive fruit. So you don't eat the majority of the fruit. It's just like they're not pips, are they? It's like bits of the fruit that come out of the bigger fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a melon, but not.
Fruit babies.
Yeah, exactly. Right, there we go. That's the best way, actually. So these little fruit babies come out of this massive fruit. And they can be like nearly a metre in length. Yeah. They're massive. I don't understand how this happens, but they grow on trees.
It's actually... It's actually
that's
a species
big tree,
of fig family, the tree. So it's in the same family as the trees.
You're getting
figs.
More technical now.
you tell me what family it's in, Kate. Go on, Pat.
It's in the fig family.
Oh, right. Well, I never saw that coming.
So like when you think like figs come out like tiny little figs.
It's like a massive fig, kind of. If you think about it that way, it's like a massive fig. So Kate's going to give us a rundown of the dish.
Of the dish, even though you can't try it. So it's really easy to make. It's really easy to make. Basically, all you do is just throw a couple of tins of jackfruit in a slow cooker, along with some onions, peppers, carrots, garlic, kidney beans, baked beans, chopped tomatoes. Then throw in a few herbs and spices, like paprika, cumin, coriander, chilli flakes. And then just whack it on the heat for 6 hours or so. And then when it's after 6 hours, just shred your jackfruit up with a couple of forks. Just give it a stir and that's it.
But you can leave it to simmer all day. So you don't have to stir it. You don't have to like fuss over it at all. So you go out to work or whatever. And then you come back and dinner's done. I mean, dead easy.
Bob's your uncle.
Exactly. Or,
Or Jack's your fruit.
Tell you what, when you came out of the jungle the second time, what was the thing that you craved the most that you then went on to get or have?
So you know what, guys, right? I feel like the second jungle was such a doss compared to the first. Honestly, I'm going to put Australia on blast right now. They whinge like it was seriously tough. Oh, they are such a pack of fannies compared to us, man, right? Do you know who the series was sponsored by?
What, who?
KFC. So whenever we won a challenge, we got a mega bucket, man. No word of a lie.
Where was this walk in the park?
Honestly, it was a walk in the park. Apart from the fact that we were under serious potential threat from like leopards and that. It was filmed in Kruger National Park. So honestly, quite dangerous in terms of wild animals, but like the scran was great.
What?
Yeah. I remember coming back and we'd won a challenge and there was just like mega buckets everywhere. I was like, this is not right. This is not nuts. I'm going to come out of here fatter than I came in. This is not right.
That's insane.
The first one, that was tough. Like you get hungry, you lose weight, you miss your favorite things. And the first time I came out, I wanted spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
I wanted spaghetti bolognese and cheesy garlic bread. Oh. That's what I wanted. Yeah. And Parmesan cheese.
It's like, it's one of those cheese. Comfort food. It's like that you crave, do you know what I mean? Like if you're not feeling too well, like you always turn to, spag bol or lasagna. Like cheese, pasta. Oh, yeah, I could literally die right now. I'd be really happy.
Yeah.
Just lush.
I just want to come out and sit in a big bath of it and rub bolognese on it.
So do you enjoy cooking at home?
Well, you know what? It's a really weird case. So I never really cooked. I'm one of these, I'd say like anything I knew about cooking was from when I went to uni. Yeah. I mentioned earlier, not far from you guys, Liverpool, John Moores. And I what you'd probably call a student chef. So I lived with five lasses. Every one night of the week, one of we took it in turns to do a dinner. So I can do like nice fajitas, or I can do canny good like a spag bol or a shepherd's pie. But none of it's from scratch. Like it's all out of jars, it's all out of an old El Paso packet. Like I never could navigate spices or anything like that. That was all beyond me. Until I did MasterChef last year.
Yeah.
And then like the game just got blown wide open. I realized like there was so much out there that like excited us and I didn't know about, and so many like just an untapped wealth of knowledge that I really wanted to dive into.
How did MasterChef come about? Like how did that, like have you always wanted to do it, or was it just...
Oh no, lasses, honestly, my agents come to us and they were like, right, big show this year, MasterChef, what you saying? I was like, what the fuck? Where have you got this from? That was like the jungle, I understood. The hunted, I understand. I'm rough, I'm ready. I like a challenge, but MasterChef, like I've never cooked in about 4 years. And they were like, it's a great audience, it's BBC. Yeah. Like, we think you'll smash anything you set your mind to. They've later disclosed that they didn't think I was going to get past the first heat.
But you got into the final.
But you got into the final. Like, you did so well.
When Reza Ruddock's not around, I'll tell everyone I came second. Honestly, glasses, it's so nice. Like, I never expected to fall in love with cooking the way I did, and I never expected to make friends the way I did on MasterChef. I just never expected to love the experience as much as I ended up doing. But it's totally changed my life. Like, I wake up in the morning, and it just used to be a case of like, what restaurant am I going to go to tonight, or what takeaway am I going to get, what delivery. I find myself like getting so excited about seeing what's in the fridge and going away and researching recipes and working out what I can make from what I've got, or like if we're treating ourselves on a Saturday night, like what I'm going to buy in and what I'm going to make from scratch, and am I going to try something new? It's completely changed my whole perspective. Like, you fellas loving it, I've gained a stone. I'm having conflicted feelings about my new love for cooking.
It is a nice excitement though, isn't it? And it's like, it's being proud of what you've made. Like, I made this. It's amazing.
I know.
Like,
isn't it?
It brings you such a nice feeling. And especially at the minute, I think it's a really nice distraction to just get in the kitchen. And do you find that you can just lose yourself and get on with it? Because, or do you find like comfort in following a recipe?
So honestly, I used to be, you'll see on MasterChef, guys, like I was so scatterbrained. Like, I was like a headless chicken. I was so stressed out, like screaming, shouting, like at one point, like I hid in a fridge just to get away from the process. Like, I was petrified of it. And I just found it so overwhelming and intimidating, like, especially some of the larger scale catering challenges. But since like removing myself from the anxiety ridden cavernous kitchen on a MasterChef, I take a real comfort in cooking. I'm quite a neurotic person. I don't know if you've guessed.
No.
Yeah, I've
don't knock yourself out.
I can be quite nervous, quite neurotic, quite intense, yeah. And cooking has allowed me to calm myself, to soothe myself in a way that I never thought was possible. So yeah, I often just get in the kitchen and just zone out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Follow that recipe, and then even just get lost in it. And sort of, I was just dipping, like the other day, for example, I melted a bit of chocolate. I had some strawberries that were on the turn, and I hate food waste. I can't stand it. So I was like, right, I'm not going to wallop 2 punnets of strawberries the night, am I? So I just melted off some dark chocolate and started dipping them in that. And then I was like, oh, I've got extra dark chocolate. What will I do? So then I just made myself some, because it was Easter, those little, little baskets. I crushed up some hobnobs, melted them in the chocolate and put some of the strawberries and then some of the little mini eggs on top and did the little nests. And then before you knew it, I was doing like this, like chocolate tart, like just completely spiral. I was like, Jesus Christ, we're off on a real tangent, yeah. But it's lovely. Like I just was dead relaxed. I was dead happy with my own company, and I just was really soothed. It's opened a lot of doors for me.
Yeah.
That meditation and yoga I never managed to do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So we've got a few questions from our readers. They were absolutely elated when they found out that we were talking to you.
And that's so nice. Literally, that's a lovely thing to say.
Literally swamped with questions. So we've got a few, which we've kind of covered because of the jungle. But Ali wants to know, are you a sweet or savoury kind of girl?
Ooh, Ali, that's such a good question. Okay, it's a really difficult one because I'm just a greedy piglet in general. and I can be eating savoury and then I'm like, ooh, I'm full. But you know what I need? A little bit of sweet. And then I'll have a little bit of chocolate or some jellies or whatever it is, or a little bit of cake. And then I'll be like, I could go back to savory now. Like, I just have this like super evil little cycle that I go through. If I was hard pushed and I was like, right, gun to me head, I would say, oh God, I'm thinking like cheese, hummus, pitas, or like cakes, or like, yeah, cheese, hummus, pitas. Yeah. I'm savory, guys.
That's a really good one.
Savory it is, then, girls. I think we've decided. Kate, are you the same? Are you sweet too?
I used to be a sweet, really like sweets. But I seem to have gone a bit more savoury now as I've got older.
After this conversation.
I've got one more question from Polly. What food didn't you like as a child but you like now? Hers was cauliflower.
Right, okay. So again, another fun fact. You lasses may be able to tell us if this is true. I read somewhere that if you don't like something edible, you just have to eat 7 of them in a row
and then
trick your brain into liking it. Is this true?
So
we have a story about this.
There's one of our best friends also has this theory, right? But she says it's 10 times that she's told us that you have to try something 10 times. So she used to hate olives and we
olives. Olives, I did it with olives.
Right, this is really, so we hate olives. And we tried them 10 times, didn't work. We still hate olives. But I'm guessing it worked for you. Like, you like olives now.
Yeah, so there's two things that I just couldn't get away with as a child, and I've grown to. I think one of them I sort of love, and the other I sort of abide. Olives, I abide, I think. Yeah. And I mean, if there's stuff with feta or something and like garlicky olive oil, like yum, but I think that's more about the cheese. But yeah, olives, I just abide to look cool because everybody, like,
because everyone eats Europe. Yeah.
Everyone's doing them, and like all these cosmopolitan European babes do it. So I'm like, yeah, pass me an olive, not them so much. I like olives. Even though I'd much rather have some cheese and pickle, not too much. So yeah, so olives is one which I kind of just abide, but I forced myself into that with the rule of seven. Yeah. Maybe it's a placebo effect, God knows. I'm very easily led. And the second is coleslaw. Am I saying that right? I always
really?
Say that.
Coleslaw. Yeah, coleslaw.
Yeah, I had a weird thing when I was a kid for like my food touching other foods. So you know, on your plate as a kid, it's very divided. You have your turkey dinosaurs, you have your waffles, and you have your beans or your peas or your carrots, whatever your mum's making you have that day. And I got really weird about it. And I didn't want any of things touching.
Yeah.
And specifically not the wet foods. If the wet foods touched my dry foods, oh my God, I used to lose my mind. I was a terrible child. Poor mother. So I think it stemmed from me, like the dislike of coleslaw, just not wanting wet foods to touch my other foods.
Do you know what? I completely get that, because coleslaw, when it mixes with stuff, is just a bit weird. And even now, I keep it apart. Maybe it's a thing. But I think
something psychological.
Yeah, I think maybe though, whoever told the people that we know, or the people or where we heard it about the 7 or 10 times, I think they were having a laugh. I think they wanted to just see us struggle eating something that we really don't like.
Well, I don't know, guys, you're probably right. But yeah, so for me, coleslaw and olives, as I grew up, they stopped scaring me as much. And you'll be pleased to know I don't mind what food touches what food now.
So it was really, really, really nice having Vicky on the podcast.
It was.
She was such a hoot. She was just hilarious. Yeah. And she seemed to have a good time too.
She did.
Certainly left me hungry. Yeah. Absolutely starving. Yeah, after
there's a lot
to her.
Of food talk.
So Kate, this week's cooking technique challenge. I want to know more about slow cookers.
Slow cookers.
The amount of questions that we get on a daily basis about what should I make in a slow cooker, how do they work, is absolutely ridiculous. And the thought of having a meal ready for you at the end of a day, you know, when you come home from work and it is ready, what is
when
this
you walk,
magic?
When you walk through the door and you can smell the food as you walk in the door.
Exactly. What is this trickery? So can we have like an idiot's guide to slow cooking for those of us that haven't indulged?
Okay, so what would you like to know about slow cookers?
So Kate, what is a slow cooker?
A slow cooker is a big crock pot almost, which keeps the temperature consistent.
Yeah.
At slightly lower temperatures, so you can cook food for longer and slower without it drying out.
See, that's such a good idea. So what would you usually, like, could you tell us, like, a few recipes that you would cook in the slow cooker?
The one, obviously, that we did for Vicky was done in the slow cooker, the campfire stew. We've got the regular campfire stew, which we do in the slow cooker. Also things like soups, stews, chilies, things like that. Anything that you want to do in bulk that you can just throw in there and leave it and forget about it.
But at the same time, you don't have to do much prep. So nope, you literally just chop it up.
Literally chop it up, throw it in. You do what people call dump meals.
Yeah.
Where they just prep the stuff the night before, leave it in a bowl or a bag in the fridge, and then just throw it all in the slow cooker in the morning. Turn it on before you go out to work, when we could go out to work. And then you come back after the end of the day and it's all there ready for you.
So I'm guessing that, so usually with meat especially, the cheaper cuts of meat you have to cook for lower and longer. So
Yeah, you can cook things for like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
Usually for like meats, like diced meat and things like that. Chicken can take a little bit less. It's 6 hours or so.
Yeah.
But the thing about slow cookers is if you put everything in when it's hot, it will take a little bit less time, and never lift the lid off it when you're cooking.
Why is that, Kate?
Because every time you take the lid off, it reduces the cooking makes the cooking time longer by about 20, 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because it lets all the heat out and then it has to get back up to the heat again.
That's a really, I never knew that.
So if you have to take the lid off, do it as fewer times as possible.
But at the end, you should let the lid off because often things that you do in the slow cooker turn out quite watery, because obviously all of the moisture that's evaporated. So usually when you cook something in a frying pan, for instance, like a sauce, it will reduce down.
Yeah, because it's evaporating all the liquid.
Exactly, the steam escapes. Whereas in a slow cooker, that doesn't happen. No. So you'll notice when you lift a lid off a slow cooker, there'll be an awful lot of moisture that goes everywhere.
Yeah. Especially if you've got a lot of veg in your dish.
Yeah.
So that's why in things like the campfire stew, the only liquid that you have in there is from the tins of mushrooms, from the tins of tomatoes and beans.
Because you don't need any more.
You don't need any more liquid in it.
Because it's going to keep it all in there. So quite often we get asked, like, how do you thicken things that come out of a slow cooker? So how would you say, for instance, Kate, I made campfire stew and I wanted it a bit thicker. What would I do?
You just take the lid off and let it cook for a little bit longer so it reduces, but it actually lets out the steam and evaporates a bit of the liquid.
Is there anything that I could do if I didn't have the time to wait for it to evaporate down a little bit? Could I add like some beans in there to thicken it up?
You can add some beans. Or what you could do is take a couple of ladlefuls of the dish out of there, blitz it with a hand blender, throw that back in and stir it up, and then that's thickened it a bit.
Dead clever. See? And then you don't have to add flour or corn flour.
And if you do stews and things like that, just put potato in, because that naturally will thicken.
Yeah, and it breaks down as it
and
goes.
And barley as well. Barley's a good one to thicken things.
Clever.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta in a slow cooker. And that'll thicken up sauces a bit.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that answers the idiot's guide to slow cookers.
I think
so. So that's about it for this week, Kate.
Yep. So if you don't want to miss our next episode,
then you better subscribe. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can hop online, you can rate it, you can
leave us some stars.
You like saying that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
No, oh, you're such a
never
star.
Used to get stars at school. This is the best. This is the closest I'll get stars for our podcast.
So yeah, just head over wherever you're listening to us now, and yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks very much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.